I have been a part of Centers for Spiritual Living in this movement since 1990. And when I first started, there was a slogan that was very popular at the time that was a quote of Ernest Holmes that says, "There is a power for good in the universe, and I can use it." And what that means is that there is a power for good, the presence of the divine, and a law that responds to my consciousness. It responds to my thinking and to my focus and to my beliefs. And when my beliefs and focus and thinking are in alignment with the nature of that divine presence, I can bring greater good into my life. And so when I started out in 1990, I was going to Huntington Beach Church of Religious Science, and Reverend Peggy Bassett was the minister there at the time. And that church was actually known as the Church of the Gold Mercedes-Benz. The people, and it was a big church, the people at that church were so busy manifesting material good in their life, houses and relationships and cars, including gold Mercedes-Benz, that's what that church was known as. And so I heard an interview recently with Ken Gordon, who is the spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living over the entire organization. And in that interview, one of the things that he was talking about is how we are evolving as an organization and how we are really evolving from there is a power for good in the universe and I can use it to there is a power for good in the universe and it can use me. Isn't that powerful? And so being in alignment, being able to manifest the material good in our lives, I think is valuable, and I think it's important, especially if we don't have what it is that we need, especially if our needs aren't being met and if we don't have what we want. But to me, I don't think that's the ultimate goal in life. To me, manifesting material good is not deeply satisfying, and it's not really soul-fulfilling. I do not believe in that quote that says, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Because I think that all of us certainly know people that have lots of money and that have lots of stuff who aren't happy, who aren't peaceful, who aren't even content, even though they have so much stuff. And so my focus as a minister, you would know if you've been here for any length of time, is really much more about allowing that divine presence to use us, allowing that divine presence for good to move through us out into this world. Hence, we talk about being a beneficial presence in this world. I really believe that every single one of us is called to bring good into this world. Called to make a difference, called to be a beneficial presence. And one of the ways that we do that is by living our spirituality. When we live our spirituality, it just automatically happens. We don't even have to try. I think that we are each called to bring love and peace into this world. I think that we are being called to bring oneness into this world. I think that we are being called to be a conduit for the presence of the divine and the presence of our own souls. Because when we are a conduit for the presence of the divine and for our own souls, what happens is then we create a world that more accurately and more completely expresses that divine presence that is at the core and center of everything that exists. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who was a philosopher and a Jesuit priest, said, "Someday, after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. Then, for the second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire." That's what we're up to here. That's what we're doing. Harnessing the energy of love, harnessing and giving way to that presence of the divine that is the presence of love. And so as spiritual beings, we have this deep spiritual need to express our spirits. and to express that divine one from which we come, that which animates us, that which is back of and within and behind everything. Because that presence is who and what we are. Including Ray Bunch. We have this need to express that presence because it is the essence of who we are as spiritual beings. And because we are spiritual beings living this human experience, we have a need to express that and to be that in this world. We have a deep desire to live in love and to live in harmony and to live in peace. Yes? Is that your desire? Yes. We have that desire to live in love and in peace and in harmony with each other in this world also. We have a need within us to experience oneness with the divine, with that invisible presence. We have a need to experience our oneness with this one human family, to live in harmony and in love with this one human family, this need to live in brotherhood and in sisterhood, whether we know people or not. And so one of the things that keeps us from sharing that love and from sharing our spirit all of the time is our sometimes distrust of and wariness of the other. Our distrust or wariness or fear of people that are unlike us. People who are of a different color or a different religion or a different gender identity or a different ethnicity or a different political affiliation. We have a wariness and a distrust of them, which causes us sometimes to pull back and to not share our spirit and to not share our love. We are sometimes afraid of those people that are different than us. But the truth is, at our core, we are all the same. At our core, we are all incarnations of that one presence. At our core, we are all exactly the same. And in our shared humanity, we all want the same things. We all want to be loved and to be safe. We all want to be significant and to belong and to know that we matter. We all want to feel connected to others. We all want to be able to make our own choices, to have autonomy and volition of our own, and we all want to contribute. And so I read a story this week that I'd like to share with you. It says, Yaki is a 64-year-old fourth-generation farmer working the same land in Ritzville, Washington, as his father and grandfather. His wheat crop accounts for nearly 100% of his income, and harvesting is usually a job that he does by himself. In February, doctors diagnosed Yaki with melanoma, which had spread to his bones. That contributed to a broken hip and broken ribs, reducing the amount of time he can spend working in his fields and how much he can lift. For the first time in decades, Yaki feared that he would not be able to handle the harvest. After he shared his concern with neighbors, they told him not to worry about it. And he assumed they were organizing some help. But last weekend, dozens of vehicles pulled up to his farm, along with farmers ready to run machines and work the fields. A community of farmers harvested the wheat on Larry Yockey's farm. Working together, they completed 3 weeks' worth of harvesting in about 8 hours. Without the help, Yaki says, it would have been a mess, leaving his crop vulnerable to wind and rain damage. Help went beyond fellow farmers. The local fire department and mechanics volunteered their time, while folks who weren't working the fields brought food and drinks. The people who helped with his harvest say they do not want to be thanked. And Yaki said, thank you really doesn't even do justice here. We want to be loved and cared for and valued and significant and matter, and we want to be connected to other people, and we want to contribute, and we want to make a difference. All of us, we all want that. That's part of being a human being. And when we look through spiritual eyes, that's what we do. When we look through our spiritual eyes, we meet everyone with compassion and with love. We meet everyone with equality and with fairness and with care. And when we look through the eyes of our shared humanity, look through the eyes of our sisterhood and our brotherhood, we meet everyone with care and with equality and with love and with compassion. In the book, The Hidden Power of the Bible, Ernest Holmes says, "If the brotherhood of man were recognized and practiced by the world at large, all war, poverty, and need would vanish from the face of the earth. They are creations of the finite mind and were never intended to be. God views all as a perfect whole. Our divisions are only apparent. They can never be real. Hate generates hate. Love begets love. And peace brings its own reward. Eventually, love overcometh and exalteth itself above all, for love is a synonym for the eternal heart of the universe." We are called to be the heart of the universe. We are here to be that presence in action. We are here to be conduits for that one power for good that Ernest Holmes was talking about. Here to be conduits for the one. And so I'd like to share a video with you now that is another fabulous story and example of being conduits for that one divine presence and the good of the universe. You don't have the $3 million and maybe you don't have farm skills, but you have your spirit to bring to this world. You have yourself to share with this world. You have gifts and talents that are unique to you individually that you can share with this world. That's your call. And so I would like to take you through a visioning process right now. And so if you don't know what visioning is, what that means is it's a meditative process whereby we open ourselves to the highest vision that is held in the mind of God for any particular thing that you're visioning about. And so I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and after the question, there's an insert in your bulletin that's either light blue or really pale green that has questions on it. I'm going to ask you those questions, and you can actually open your eyes and jot down the answers. And maybe what will come to you is words or pictures or images or just a feeling. But write down what comes to you. So if you need a pen, Barbara will give you a pen. And so I invite you just to turn within. And so I recognize that here within us is that divine presence. Here within us is our connection with the infinite, like a conduit, like a line, like a cord. We're attached to the infinity of that divine presence. And so right here, right now, we just turn to that one from which we have come from, that one that beats our hearts and breathes our lungs and is the very life force within us. Recognizing that this one within us is the same one that is within and through every single thing in this universe. And so we tune into that infinite love, that infinite beingness, that infinite mind. We tune into that wisdom within us that is that presence unfolding itself. And we allow ourselves to sink into this place of knowingness. To sink into this place of oneness. And in that we open ourselves and we listen and we hear and we know. And so I invite you with me to ask that all-knowing wisdom, that divine presence that resides in your very heart and soul. What is God's highest vision for this world? What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What is its essence or tone? We ask that within us. What is God's highest vision for this world? What is God's highest vision for this world? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And when you're done writing, to go ahead and close your eyes again and to just rest in that presence within you. That all-knowingness. And so listening within again, sinking in and opening up, one with this vision, for it already lives within us. We ask that all-knowingness inside of us, what must I embrace in order to bring this vision fully forward? What must I embrace to bring this vision fully forward? And turning within one last time, turning in and tuning in, and opening our minds and our hearts, we ask ourselves, what must I release in order to bring this vision fully forward? What must I release? What must I release in order to bring this vision forward? And so I just give thanks for this vision. I give thanks for this insight. I give thanks for this knowing. I give thanks for this opportunity to be a conduit for that one, for each and every single one of us. And so I release this and let it be. And I invite you to open your eyes. And I invite you to grab a partner, someone that you're sitting near. Does everybody have a partner? And so what I'm going to do is give you 3 minutes to share. That means 1.5 minutes per person to share what came up with you. So you have to be succinct. You don't have to share everything. Share the essence of it. And the person with the longest hair is going first. Ready? Go. Person with the longer hair goes first. And time is up. And so the title of my talk today is Think Globally and Act Locally. And what that means is the global part is allowing ourselves to see that bigger picture of what is being called for, to see that vision, to allow ourselves to understand that which is seeking to express itself in this world, and to allow ourselves to be conduits for that to come through, to allow that power for good to use you in this world. And the locally part, act locally, means everywhere you go, wherever you go is local. So to be that conduit and to be whatever came to you in that visioning, to be that everywhere you go in all that you do. To allow that highest vision to express itself through you. And so my invitation to you this week is to do whatever came to you in that visioning. To embrace what you're being called to embrace, and to release whatever it is you're being called to release. That is your spiritual path. This is part of your spiritual path. Letting that go and embracing that enables you to walk this path everywhere you go in all that you do. Be the answer. Be your answer, whatever your answer was in this visioning. That's your call. And to remember the truth of oneness, that you are one, eternally one with that infinite presence, and that you are absolutely one with all of humanity. We are all part of this one human family, and all part of this oneness of the divine and this oneness of the whole. That presence is in you, and you are in it all of the time. And as a result of doing that and living that, you will be bringing that highest vision of that divine one into this world and be creating heaven on earth. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of unfolding, this path of remembering, this path of bringing your own spirit into this world in such a beautiful way. I thank each and every single one of you and say blessings to you on this path. And so I invite you right now to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to be in this place of remembering. How good it is to be in this consciousness of that one. To be feeling and sensing and knowing that infinite presence that is always right where we are. That infinite one that is the very presence of love and of peace and of oneness, of light and of truth and of good without bounds. For God and good are synonymous with each other. And there is a magnificent good that is seeking to unfold itself in this world. And we just so happen to be conduits for that one. And so I recognize and know that that one in its fullness, in its allness, is everywhere present at every point in space, at every point in time. That it is present right where we are, and that it is present where every single person in this entire world is. All that God is present. All that God is present at the tip of my finger, at the center of every conversation, in every single home, in every single heart. And that one is unfolding itself and downloading itself and expressing itself right now. Right now. And so we just see this and we just know this. And we sink into this truth and allow ourselves to marinate in it. And so today we say yes. And we step up and we open up, allowing something that is greater than we ever imagined to unfold itself in our own hearts and in our own souls so that we are absolutely a beneficial presence in this world and so that we are that divine presence, blessing this world wherever we go. And I speak this word also right now for any person who is experiencing loss or trauma or fear. I speak this word for every person in El Paso and in Dayton and any place where there is grief or fear, recognizing that that divine presence is fully right there with each and every single person. That it right now is surrounding and enveloping every single one of these people with a presence of peace, with a presence of harmony, with a feeling and a sense of safety and well-being, for I know that each and every person is absolutely safe because each and every person is eternal in their beingness and nothing can ever harm that. Nothing can ever change that. And so I know that that presence is wrapping itself around each person right now as love and peace and harmony. I also recognize that in any event that feels catastrophic like this, that what is happening is there is a wake-up call right now. And every person in this country is waking up to the fact that we are here as one human family, to the fact that we are here as love, that we are waking up and bringing something new into this world that looks like family and that looks like love and that looks like peace and care and compassion. That is bigger than anything that has ever happened in this world. And that is unfolding itself now. And we say yes to that. And we hold that in consciousness. And we stand in that and we stand for that. And so I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is done as it is spoken, as it is claimed, as it is known, and it is unfolding itself now. And I say, thank you, God, for this. And I release this and let it be. And I say, and so it is.